Basilica Hudson, in partnership with the Community of Literary Magazines and Presses, CLMP, known by friends, will host the first Read and Feed this Saturday, July 30th. The event brings together artisanal makers of food with artisanal makers of literature. The inaugural mini-festival will feature panel discussions bringing together writers, farmers, and chefs, cooking and mixology demonstrations, a marathon reading of John Cage's diary, How to Improve the World, You Will Only Make Matters Worse, and a marketplace featuring more than 20 small press publishers and artisanal food makers, plus spectacular eats and drinks. Here to tell us more, we welcome Jeffrey Leppendorf, the CLMP Executive Director. Jeffrey, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. Lisa Pearson is publisher of Siglio Press and the John Cage Diary, How to Improve the World, You Will Only Make Matters Worse.
Hello.
Good morning. Welcome. And Michael Albin joins us, proprietor of Hudson Wine Merchants. Michael, thank you for being here as well.
Hi, Jeff.
A delight to have this trio before us. So let us begin with you, Jeffrey, as to how all of this came about.
Well, we've been around since 1967.
And me too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, me as well. But as many of us. Probably many many of the listeners out there as well.
I also born in 1967.
But unlike the two of us, CLMP was founded by George Plimpton and Russell Banks
that
and a lot of other people that many of us still adore. And we've been helping small literary publishers kind of through the business of publishing for many years, largely behind the scenes, helping them through the business stuff so that lucky readers everywhere can get to read the kinds of things that the big publishers who by necessity have to make a certain amount of money can publish. So, you know, most poetry, groovy, cool, arty, you know, books, experimental things,
and
work in translation, all that kind of stuff that's so important to us.
Is that different from self-publishing?
It is. So self-publishing can also be wonderful.
Yes.
As I always like to tell people, to publish literally means to make public. And so at CLMP, we like to say, until a book reaches a reader's hands, it has not been published, it has merely been printed.
Yes.
And so if you're a self-publishing author, which can be terrific, a book some here listening may have heard of, Leaves of Grass, was a self-published book, you know, and it's done okay. But you really need to understand that it really means making the book public. So a lot of authors who do self-publish are then unhappy because they think that just printing the book means people might just buy it. And if you think of the hundreds of thousands of books that come out every year, it really does. How do you make it known? That's really the publishing. How do people get to know it? So what the publishers that we work with, and some 500 of them, what we help them with and what they do really well is really focusing their sensibilities in very, very special ways. We have Lisa here from Siglio Press. Their books are gorgeous and amazing and kind of work between art and literature. This Cage book is printed in 28 different fonts and colors. Pretty spectacular. I hope everyone will come and see it in person, too. And we have many publishers like that. I'm sure many listeners have read the Ferrante trilogy recently.
Yeah.
That's put out by Europa Editions, one of the publishers that we'll have this Saturday. So self-publishing can be great, but if you really know what you're doing. So we're working, though, with these small organizations who are often volunteer themselves or very small, very low-paid staffs, just doing really, really great work and finding the stuff and getting it out there.
And in most cases, and I'll begin with you and certainly move over to Lisa, but in most cases, I assume there's a niche, right? They have a particular interest and something they're trying to accomplish within their publishing.
You've got it exactly right. So, you know, Random House is a great publishing house, but if you read one book published by Random House and you see another book published by Random House, you can't really know what that other book would be. It could be a cookbook, it could be a children's book, it could be a novel, it could be anything. But if you buy a Siglio Press book, for example, and you really love it, and then you see that there's another book published by Siglio Press, you're probably going to love that book, too, because it will have a very similar sensibility. It might be a very, very different book. I mean, it will be, but the sensibility behind it. So all these publishers have real personalities, you know. They're like little boutique stores in a way that are really special and one of a kind.
So Lisa Pearson, publisher of Siglio Press, let us talk about your press's personality, of what you feel that personality is.
Well, I started Siglio really to fill what I felt like was a real absence. There has always been in history a real conversation between the visual and the literary, between art and literature. And I think because of the dominance of corporate publishing and things being categorized and needing to be sold in certain ways, that conversation has dissipated. And yet there are artists and writers who really make these extraordinary hybrid works. And yet they were not finding a home in publishing. Mm. So that's what I look for, are these kinds of misfits in some ways. I mean, John Cage is, you know, one of the most important artist, composer, philosophers of the 20th century. And yet nobody had thought to publish this piece, Diary, in all eight parts in one place. And so that, I feel like is my mission, actually.
So that obviously is different than an author coming to you. That is something of you saying, okay, this is what we want to accomplish with this work that is out there.
Yes, that's right. But I do have authors come to me.
Sure.
And so I do both. This book was proposed to me by two artists in Los Angeles who edited the book and worked with the John Cage Trust. I have authors who propose queries, send me queries, and I publish that way. There are other books that I edit. So it's basically finding a way to shape some experience into the form of a book, as opposed to the book being a transparent delivery device. You know, that when you come to this book, you want to hold it, you want to spend time with it, you feel its paper, you see how the language and the images fill the space of the page.
And there is obviously the writing, there is what the book tells us, but there's an art to the book itself.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that it's very different from, the books I publish are very different from, say, catalogs or artist monographs, where
right.
It's really about documenting work of an artist. The works I publish are more about artists and writers who use both literary and visual media and sensibilities, and that what's on the page itself is the artwork, so that it's closer to, well, if you look at the John Cage, there's, you know, it's the typography is incredibly visual. And I published another artist named Sophie Call who writes these texts that catalog her sort of experiences when she finds an address book on the street and starts calling the names and numbers in the address book to learn about the address book's owner. And then there's images there that correspond. And so it's kind of a complete experience inside the book.
When it comes to the actual publication, what's your print run?
It depends. They can be 1,000. It can be 4,000. The John Cage book, I think we did 2,500, and I think we've only got about 500 left.
Mm-hmm. So it can vary.
It varies.
And when it comes to the actual publishing of a book, we think of, well, I mean, price. So is it prohibitive for you? Is this anything you can make money on?
Well, as Jeffrey will tell you, that every CLMP member is doing this out of a great deal of passion, and it's a labor of love. So there, we are not corporate publishers. The aim
right.
is not to make money. And honestly, the margins are so razor thin that really what we want to do is make enough money so that we can do the next book.
Which is a great goal.
Yeah, you were asking how Lisa, you know, the kind of things she looks for, and we were joking beforehand. You know, we're in the land of farmers markets, and it's often like sometimes the ugly, misshapen vegetable or piece of fruit that's the most delicious that everyone else leaves behind.
Yes.
And that's what Lisa's looking for: those delicious, ugly pieces of fruit. And then, you know, handing them off to
is
someone
that on
to
the
enjoy.
Business card? Yeah,
that's what it says. Yeah, purveyor of ugly, delicious fruit.
Well, I will say actually that when I get queries, if I think that there's another publisher, if I can think of three or four other publishers who would serve that work really well, then it's not a Siglio book.
Yes, if it's something that you see that nowhere else would it find a home.
And I think all of the publishers that folks can meet on Saturday would answer the same. That's what's so great about them. They're all really special in their own particular way and different way. And, you know, lucky reader, if you find the few that really seem to be, you know, publishing just for you, and then they'll keep doing that if you support them.
Michael Albin is proprietor of Hudson Wine Merchants. How did a nice wine guy get involved in all this?
That's a great question. Jeffrey really came and approached me, and I was excited to do it. It's the whole idea of the read and feed, I think, is a really great idea. having had a little store in Hudson for 12 years, I've really seen the type of people that have moved up here and a lot of the growth. And there really is such a fantastic wealth of people. It's really one of the most exciting things about the area. So to combine that with all the food things that are going on right now, all the attention to farms and the new restaurants and really the heightened food culture, just seems like a fantastic idea. So I agreed to say yes. And now suddenly I'm leading a wine tasting for 150 people or so, and, you know, moderating a talk for two of the probably the more incredible voices in American fiction today.
So is there, so there's a mixing between the two. There you're not only will be there's a literary part to the wine tasting.
There is. It's not a official real tasting where you're trying lots of wines. There are too many people. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna try a wine at the very beginning with everybody. And I think by the nature of the choice of the wine, we're going to set a theme, which will then be carried on to begin the talk. And it's really the theme of, you know, if you've ever heard the wine term for terroir, a French term for the idea that there's a sense of place to wine.
Mm-hmm.
And really at its best, wine is representing a place. So I think we're going to start with a wine that really represents a sense of place really well in the concept and have everybody experience it, and then go into how that might apply to their works, and also have me step out of the way a bit as these two amazing authors who are also longstanding friends. Can begin
we
to
we should say who they
them.
Are.
Lydia Davis and Lynn Tillman.
So. Oh, wow. So yeah. That's great.
Yeah, and they're long. Yeah, they have great voices. They're really talented. And then the fact that they have this longstanding friendship should make it a really fun thing. So
it's really, we're going to basically be getting them liquored up and have them talk.
I was going to say that that's, yeah. That's always it's a good plan.
Yeah.
Basilica Hudson and the Community of Literary Magazines and Presses presents Read and Feed at Basilica Hudson in Hudson this Saturday, July 30th from 5 to 11. And we'll tell you how you can find out more information in just a few moments. When so I guess there's a lot of that cross-pollination.
Right. So that was the whole idea. I mean, basically, for years, we had done a small, wonderful, you know, Hudson Valley Literary Festival. And it did what you expect at a literary festival. There were some tables with some publishers, and we do a reading. And it was always lovely. But, you know, it seemed like our real purpose was to try to bring new audiences to this great stuff that if, you know, if they knew about it, they would, you know, surely love. And we're just so lucky in this area. I always joke, you know, you can't throw a book without hitting an author in this area. And if you don't hit an author, you've hit a local sustainable farmer. Right. So we try to think, well,
stop
what?
Stop hitting people.
Yeah. Well, and then we thought we should stop hitting people and just give them something wonderful. So, you know, the real question was, you know, what's a shared value of another community that we could bring together with folks who already know, you know, literature and writing? And the answer that came right away was read and feed. Well, actually, the rhyme came first, you know.
Yes.
But was people who care about handmade and delicious and small batch and, you know, local are probably people also care about small batch poetry and locally crafted art books. And you know, it's the same value. So, by you know, and what's better than a glass of wine and a good book? So by bringing them together, we're doing a much larger kind of event than we could if it were either one. And so it's just going to be fantastic. I mean, what we've got going on in a five-hour period is kind of remarkable. We have this complete reading with 24 different readers changing. And Joe, you've seen the book. You know, it changes color and font sometimes every word. And
yes.
The reader will change every time that changes. So it's going to be quite a thing to witness. And we've got everyone from, you know, rock star Stephen Merritt to legendary poet Bernadette Mayer. I mean, it's quite a group of readers just for that. And then we have a little fun thing called Poetry for One, where we have a lineup of great poets in a little room where people go in one at a time and have one poem read to them, and then they leave with a copy of the poem. So you get a private audience.
Neat.
Yeah, it's just the loveliest thing. And then we have all these panels going on, Michael doing the wine tasting with the audience. Another one of the panels on food farming and spirituality will have a Zen eating exercise in the middle of it. And Roseanne Gold, who is an
idol of
mine.
On. What's a Zen eating exercise?
I don't want to give it away, but I'm
okay.
Going to say that everyone's going to be giving something to eat and given the same instruction that one of the people on the panel, Marie Mutsky-Mockett, a wonderful author some folks may have read, same Zen training she went through in Japan, but in a little gentler fashion. There'll be no one with sticks hitting them. They'll just do the eating part, but everyone's going to participate in the audience who wants to in this little Zen eating exercise and discover what it might be like to actually trained to be a Zen monk, believe it or not, in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not just another name for the Heimlich.
No, it will not be painful. It will be, you'll leave relaxed and refreshed, and you'll have eaten something.
Excellent.
So what could be nicer?
And 5 hours seems about right.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Perfectly. You know, Five's a lucky number. We have five fingers.
Yes, exactly. Five to 11 seems like a nice time frame.
Yeah. So doors are open at 4. Actually, the thing starts at 5, and lots of simultaneous stuff, so people are going to have to make some tough choices here and there, but you can wander in and out. If you haven't been to Basilica Hudson, I want to give credit, equal credit, to Melissa Aftermar, who is a visionary, you know, founder with her husband, Tony Stone, of the Basilica. If you went just to see the building, it'd be worth a trip if you haven't been. It was a foundry.
And it's stunning.
Amazing. Yeah, amazing place. And we're using every space in there, because why not?
That's great.
Yeah.
So it is Basilica Hudson and the community of literary magazines and presses and the Read and Feed. So it's the first year you've done this.
It's the first one. I hope people will really come and support it so that we'll do it again, bigger and better. But we've packed so much into this, it's just silly.
And as far as the community of literary magazines and presses, where is home base?
Our home, I actually live in Hudson.
Okay.
I'm a local. And so in some places, if you're with CLMP right now, but our offices have been for a very, very long time in the Village in Manhattan.
Okay. Yeah. And for Siglio, it's wherever you are?
Well, it is wherever I am, and I was in Los Angeles, but I have just now relocated to about 10 minutes north of Catskill, deep in the country.
Okay.
Tell them where, because it's so great.
Oh, it's halfway between Surprise and Climax.
As many things are.
Yes.
How's that going?
We're so excited. We're just so happy to be here. There's this amazing community of people, and the Read and Feed is giving us sort of an entry into it, and
it's
we love it.
It's a debutante party in some
It is.
Ways.
So give us a sense of some of the other publishers that will be involved.
Yeah, so, God, I could just rattle so many. So I mentioned Europa Editions. A lot of our folks will know. Archipelago Press, a lot of folks have probably been reading those Knausgard My Struggle books. That's Archipelago. They'll be there.
Fence,
who are local and amazing, and have Fence Magazine and Fence Press. Belladonna Collective, Black Square Editions of fabulous poetry press. Everyone's going to get mad at me for not mentioning them. There are like 25 presses. McPherson from Kingston, a remarkable small press publisher. Slope Editions from a little north of here. It's just there's so many. Station Hill Press, who are near Bard and do remarkable stuff.
The Song Cave?
The Song Cave, one of my very, very favorites, are coming up from Manhattan, from Brooklyn for this. A lot of people are traveling far and wide to be here for this because they just love the idea. Literary Hub will be there, who a lot of people may know is kind of a place for news about literature, and they'll be represented. PHL Publications, Nightboat Books, another fantastic one, so many.
And Ugly Duckling.
Ugly Duckling Press, my God. I mean, everyone, they're all my favorite. You know, all my children are pretty.
Yes. So if you go to basilicahudson.org, there is you can go right to the Read and Feed page.
Yeah, basilicahudson.org, right there, Read and Feed will be front and center. It'll be really easy.
And down at the bottom, it has a marketplace, and it has all
the
Oh,
and
the,
a cool thing.
All
well, all these amazing food things, and even people like Zach Palacio, some people know from Fish and Game in Hudson, and Fatty Crab in Manhattan, you know. Celebrity chef. So it's my favorite cookbook. Arthur Roseanne Gold is going to moderate one of the panels. She herself is also an end-of-life doula, which I find remarkable, and she's doing a poetry degree now, so everyone's going to learn all manner of secret things about people. But a cool thing, too, is that when you buy a ticket, and it's $5 cheaper if you buy it in advance than at the door, but
hint,
you can show up,
yes.
You will get, hint, hint, you'll get a $5 voucher that you can use toward any book purchase there.
Well,
so in fact, the
idea.
Ticket's really only $15, unless you waste your voucher, which would be silly, and you're going to leave with a great book.
Cool book. Yeah. And Michael, when do you start the wine tasting? When is that?
You're at 9 to 10.
Yeah, so it's 9 to 10, and I think for the wine tasting for everybody, we picked a wine that is from actually northern Italy in Piedmont. There are only 150 cases made.
Oh wow!
And so it's a winery that's been around since the 1700s. It's basically a 2-hectare estate, almost an acre, a person who does everything themselves. And this will be a really exciting wine to really sum up a lot of what we're going to be talking about.
So, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, all of this happens this Saturday, July 30th, from 5 to 11. It's the Basilica Hudson and the community of literary magazines and presses presenting Read and Feed at Basilica Hudson in Hudson. Again, this Saturday, July 30th, from 5 to 11. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. You can also find information at basilicahudson.org. Basilicahudson.org. Jeffrey Leppendorf, Lisa Pearson, and Michael Albin, I thank you very much for being with us. Have an awesome time on Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Have a beautiful time. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.